God being life, there can be no death. The reason why is because there is nothing else but God. There can be nothing else but God because God is infinite in nature. Therefore, there can be no death in life. Seek me and ye shall live. Amos 5:4. The God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. That is quite true. Satan is the craving for power that we see in the world today. Satan is that urge in man, which is a falsehood, which is endeavoring to crush the life out of others, the desire for things. Therefore, the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. Romans 16:20. If I say to you, God is love, God is wisdom, you'll accept this without question because you believe it to be true. Yet no truth can be of any value to you by the mere acceptance of it, a mere belief, for a belief is not thinking, nor is it understanding. It is just an idea. And if God is love, God is wisdom, and these things become an idea in your mind, then I say it is just an idea and it can never be a reality. The world today is living on ideas. They haven't come to the realization that they are themselves life. God being life, then there can be no death. It was for this purpose that the Master came to show that there was no death. We will soon see that as we progress along these lectures. We will see how he talked to his disciples and how he showed himself again, proving that there was no death. But if these things only become a belief, if then you say God is love and God is wisdom, and you accept them as a belief, an idea in your mind, then they are just an idea. But if you say, I am love, I am wisdom, that would be a different thing altogether. Because of the fact that you'll be realizing the truth, it would not be an idea or an image, it would be an absolute reality, because you would say to yourself and know that you were that, because you could be nothing else, because God is only living being there is, and he is living wisdom, and there can be nothing else but him. We are on the surface. The divine is underneath, expressing itself through us. The mind of man is the vehicle through which the spirit manifests. But man doesn't know that. So he holds in his mind an idea of that which is behind him, not knowing that he himself is the reality that is there. And that self must be dissolved away so that which is behind it can be realized in each and every one. So individuality becomes a reality, not an individuality in separation, but an individuality in unity. You must learn to think clearly before you can understand. And this can only be done when you are free from attachment, free from beliefs. For no one can do your thinking for you. If you accept what others say, you conform to their thinking. you can no longer think freely, as you imitate, and you think in terms of what you have accepted from others. You can never understand in this way. And it is so necessary that you must be able to think things for yourselves, to be able to think things clearly, and not merely accept them. With right thought feeling, there can be no reaction to beliefs, ideas, prejudices, and the like. Some people will react to this belief and that idea, this prejudice and so forth. You all react to them. But with right thought feeling, there is no reaction to these things at all because you know they are false. Therefore, the individual never gives a false thing any more power because he knows that it's false. Most people try to escape from thinking correctly by succumbing to conformity and tradition. This is truly ignorance and a prison. Therefore, if I say that God is love and wisdom, and I still retain my prejudices, I do not understand what I am really saying. I can only find the truth of this within myself. If I have no love for my fellow men, and still say that God is love, I make God a relative and myself a hypocrite. But when I find that I am love, free from all prejudices and separation in race and creed, then only will God, who is love, be a reality to me, and I will be his son. Because only can you be the son of God when you are love. Love is the expression of God, the Father, Mother, God. The Father is power omnipotent. The Mother is omniscience, all knowledge and wisdom. And the Son is a combination of those two. The three become one in the Son, which is love. Love, then, is the expression of the Father, Mother, God in you and me. And then in us, as well as love, there is omnipotence and omniscience. That is the Christ, the truly only begotten Son of the Father. The cross is symbolic of it. If I was to draw a line down here, and then another line across, I would join those two lines together at the center, symbolic of the Christ. The cross is the oldest symbol in the world which represents the Father, the Mother, or the consciousness and intelligence, or the omnipotence and omniscience. And where they join together, these two, is the symbolic expression of those two, which becomes the love, the Son that is born of the Father, Mother, God. And we see then this contains not only the omnipotence, but also the omniscience, and with it the love. So the three are in one. I am, and when you have seen me, you have seen the Father, Mother, God. We are all human beings in whom the presence of God is the only reality. Now this presence is never in opposition to itself in any other human being. Then where does opposition rise? Opposition rises from our beliefs, from our own tradition, from our separation in creed and race. Surely it is not difficult to see that this is all in the mind of man caught up in limitation. If then you become aware, not only aware of everything that is in your mind, which you see as only images and ideas, but you become aware of that which has created the idea, then you come near the source of reality. This awareness does not come overnight. Comes through constant understanding, constant repetition that we are getting through these classes, where the mind becomes freed from its own conceptions and misconceptions, until such time as the spirit becomes free from the encumbrances of the mind that holds it fast in the prison created by the self. The self is the error. The self is the creator of error. And the less the self discerns the self and its ways, you will never escape. You will never have freedom. You all be bound in your images and your ideas and your fears. But there is no fear in the Christ. And as we read, we show when we pass through the various stages the Master passed, we will see that there was no fear. There was the human feelings. There was the necessary urge of the flesh, but the Christ, the understanding and the realization of the Christ, being, as I said, the Father and Mother God, the love, the expression, and the three became one in the Son. Then he knew that there was nothing in heaven or on earth that could prevent him obtaining his complete rights, his inheritance that was given to him in the beginning, the Word that was with God, and the Word that was God, and the Word that was made flesh. When the mind is limited in this way, it is impossible to grasp the truth of our being. Only right thinking leads to this freedom, and with freedom comes creativeness, wholeness. Therefore all limitation is born of ignorance in the mind of man, and unless he frees himself from this illusion, he will die in his ignorance. It was to free man from the colossal ignorance that the Master came, and when I read his words, I can see clearly what he means. When he says, "Do you not see that nothing outside a man can defile him by entering him? It does not enter his heart, but his belly, and passes into the drain. Thus he pronounced all food clean." No, he said, it is what comes from a man that what defiles him, from within, from his heart of man, designs of evil come. So it is in the mind heart. If the mind heart is filled with craving, antagonism, fears, separation, that is the devil, because he is the elusive one, the illusion. He is the liar that existed from the beginning. He is the father of lies, and he is what we call death. He is the father of death, because death does not exist in life, therefore he is a liar from the beginning. And everyone who believes in death, everyone who believes in separation, everyone who believes in a separate belief, everyone who has these beliefs that are antagonistic to each other, there the devil reigns, because it's an illusion. It does not exist. It's a lie. And it was a liar from the beginning, and it will be a liar to the end. What the mind hath is, so is your thought feeling. Therefore it is to discern what is in the heart that counts. God can only be a reality to you when you have love in your heart. This can only happen when you love your neighbor as yourself. But you will not understand this till first you have thrown off all limitations. All that hinders the true expression of the Spirit from within. That true love comes to you when you find that all else has passed away, but the flesh has no power. The desire of the flesh is not true love. It's limited in its way. Love comes from the soul. The soul that is free from the flesh, free from the body. Therefore we find true love in the soul of man, in the soul of woman. When the desires of the flesh have passed, we have gone, and what is left? Nothing. Nothing. But when the soul loves, freed altogether from the desires of the flesh, then there is the beauty and strength and glory that remains eternal. Now I tell you this, but you must first go through the stages of love, through your personality, through your flesh. You must go through all these sorrows, those feelings, those desires. You must pass through them, and you must know them. Even if your heart aches and is torn, in the means, in the process. Then you begin to understand that these things have nothing. Then there is love that comes from within the self, a love that does not desire love, but a love that gives love. In that is the secret. Now think carefully what I'm going to say to you, that this love is not a possessive love. It's a love that you begin to love people. Perhaps you love some much more than others. You'll always find that, because you're nearer your own planetary vibrations of God has placed you near to one another. But you have to learn to love, to free yourselves from many of your difficulties, much of your sickness. You've got to learn to love freely, freely, mind you, without possessiveness, without desire, without the cravings of the flesh. This is love, a love that will set you free. That is the Christ, the Father, Mother God, the Son, who lives in you and me. When we see that the world condition is but an outward expression of our own inward thought feeling, systems, conference, etc. will not bring about order and goodwill. The thing to do is to change within, then the outer will change also, for our inward conflicts express themselves in outward disasters. Only a radical change of the human mind and heart will bring about a change in the individual and in the world, for we are the world. A man said to me the other day, I'll be glad when I'm out of this world with all its misery and strife. He said, I'm tired of it. I'm sick to death of it. I said, how can you escape into the future when the now is ever present? If you do not understand the present now, will you understand the future? What you are now, you will perpetuate. If the present is not understood, you will perpetuate exactly your own thought feeling. And it will be with you continuously. How are you going to escape it? Do you think by cutting your throat you're going to escape it? You carry your misery with you until such time you have discerned it. And you will discern it now in the present, not tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. For where tomorrow comes, it's always the present. The past and the future are the present. All that has happened in the past to you is living in the present with you. Therefore, if the past influences the present, you must discern it in the present. And understand it. Free yourselves from it. I know that the Christ is the freedom, is the salvation of man. I know that so truly in my heart and mind. Nothing can convince me otherwise. And you will begin to know it too. Once you've seen the Christ in action. The only begotten Son of the Father. If the present is not understood, understanding only comes through the present. Postponing the issue does not bring comprehension. You can't say, tomorrow I will understand it. I will leave it today. For tomorrow comes, it's still the present. And you must still understand it and solve your problems now. But how are you going to solve your problem? By discerning the falsehoods and realizing that which is true. Not something outside yourselves, but the living expression of that Christ that is in you. If we look to time as a means of freedom, it will never come. It is but a useless conflict leading to illusion. In death, we seek immortality. We are caught up in birth and death, and we crave for the timeless. Death does not lead to immortality. In life, without death, is there immortality. That is now. Was this the Master showed so clearly to his disciples as he talked to them in the Garden of Gethsemane. He showed them and told them that he was going to give up his life to take it up again, to show that there was no death. The living realization of this truth would change the world overnight. It's because you believe in death that you crave for immortality, and this craving leads through other things till such time as every man and woman is at each other's throat through separation. Separation in religion, separation in nationality, separation in competition, separation in thought. Until such time the world is separated to such an extent that it divides itself into what? I should say yes. One day we will reach unity, perhaps through separation, when we have gone far enough. But in the process, there will be much suffering. If man could understand now the truth and the realization of unity, then things would be different. Believing in death, we cling to life. So we struggle, creating opposite. This is not understanding. To hope and believe in immortality is not expressing immortality. Belief and hope must cease. Then immortality can be realized. These things are in your mind. A belief in immortality is but an idea. But I am immortal. You cannot destroy me. No, you cannot, no matter what you do. I am the living expression of the Father, Mother, God. I can't be anything else. And God cannot destroy himself. When the mind is quiet, free from opposites, there is creative stillness. In this silence, you will know that which is birthless and deathless. John 8:43-46. Why you do not understand my speech? Because you are unable to listen to what I am saying. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to do what your father desires. He was the slayer of men from the beginning, and he has no place in truth, because there is no truth in him. He has no place in God, and God cannot be in him. Therefore, he is a myth only in man's mind. Because God is everywhere and everything. And Jesus says, there is no truth in him. He's got no place in truth. No place in God. And no God in him. Now as God is infinite, omnipotent, omnipresent, there is nothing but God. Therefore, we will soon see how the devil is made up, as Jesus shows it. When he tells a lie, he is expressing his own nature, a damned liar. He is a liar and the father of lies. It is because I tell the truth that you do not believe me. So therefore, he was the father of lies. He is the father of death, as we are told. So he's the father of lies from the beginning, because there can be no death in life. There is no immortality in death, because there can be no existence of a death in life. Therefore, the devil is the creator of death, the father of death. And he's the father of lies, therefore he cannot have God in him, because God is not death. God is only life. In verse 43, they did not understand his way of speaking. Most people don't. In verse 44, they would do what they had set their mind to do. That was to kill Jesus, but they could not destroy that which they could not see. So he was the slayer of men, but he could not destroy that which they could not see, the Christ, the immortal in you and me. The devil was the father of death. So whatever God is, the devil is not. And since God alone is, the devil is not. Since God is being, the devil is not being. Since God is life, the devil is not life. Death does not exist in life. Therefore, the devil is the liar, the father of lies, from the very beginning. And it is here where we see the great truth the Master showed. So it is precisely the non-existence of the devil that makes up the devil. The refusal to accept the Christ as the only begotten Son makes up the devil and death. That is a truth that you cannot deny. Separation makes up the devil. Dogma makes up the devil. Anything where there is separation, there the devil is, because it is a lie. That's why the churches today, because in a state of separation, they're always talking about the devil. The only thing they can talk about is the devil and sin. And if there was no sin in the world, the church could not exist. Do away with sin, and the church is gone to nothing. There can be no sin in God, no sin in reality, no sin in the Christ. Jesus said, "Go and preach me to the world." Me, not Satan, the devil, and death, and fear, and lies. I tell you, as soon as you clear your mind of this, and as soon as this shall be cleared from the face of the earth, man alone shall be free. Never while the devil and death and sin is round your neck, push down your throats every day, you will still be in fear. And that is the enemy of man. It was that that Jesus wrestled with and destroyed, the fear in man. And what he overcame, we can overcome, because he said, "What we have done, you will do also." But in reality, there can be no separation, therefore only unity exists. It's not until we understand the devil is separation do we realize the truth that sets us free. John 8:51, "Truly, truly, I tell you, if anyone holds to what I say, he will never see death." And the Jews said to him, "Now we're sure you're mad. Abraham is dead, and so are all the prophets. And you declare, if anyone holds to what I say, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He is dead, and the prophets are dead. Who do you claim to be?" Now listen to the answer of Jesus. Jesus replied, "Were I to glorify myself, my glory would be nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, the living. His Father would glorify me by being alive and living. And no one could take that glory from him. I know him. Were I to say I do not know him, I'd be a liar like yourselves, because you believe in death. And you say Abraham is dead. All the prophets are dead. But I know him when I hold to his word, which is eternal life. Your father Abraham exulted that he was to see my day. He did see it, and he rejoiced. Then said the Jews to him, you are not 50 years of age, and Abraham has seen you? Truly, truly, I tell you, says Jesus, I've existed before Abraham was born. Here is the Christ talking, the Spirit that was in the beginning, the only begotten Son of the Father. Abraham was the name of the individual, the personality, the prophet. But the Spirit within Abraham existed still today, and still exists now, just as Moses and Elijah existed on the mountain and spoke to Jesus. They had also passed, but they appeared before his disciples. Don't you see how so many people are caught up in death? Truly, truly, I tell you, said Jesus, I have existed before Abraham was born. What a blow. What a blow. It made all the Pharisees and the Sadducees think a little bit. But it was a truth. It was the only truth. Here also the great truth, I am, represents absolute eternity, a timeless existence. I am stands for the name of God. It was this that his hearers could not understand. Jesus was speaking from the eternal life, the timeless state of mankind. Yes, and that's what I am speaking from too. Timeless state of mankind. It's not an idea in my mind, or an image, or a belief. It's an actual living reality. I know I am alive, and I will always be living. Because there is no death in life. Because there is no outside of God. Because there can be no outside him, I must be within him. There can be no other life but his, and I am that life. God is indestructible. I am the living because God is living in me. It is he who speaks. The Spirit alone has voice. Nothing else has voice but the Spirit. And my voice is the voice of the Spirit. Life is and death is not. Here was the message of the Master to those who believed in death. Their father was the devil, the father of lies. But anyone who was able to recognize the spiritual principle of life which the Master was showing had eternal life, they had already passed across from death to life. My Father, Jesus made the universal living intelligence personal, an individual expression of himself. and by this means made a conscious personal intercourse with God, not in the relative sense as we are speaking, but as a living reality. If you can think with me in my mind, now in my consciousness, now you will know that your consciousness also exists in life. And you'll be conscious of that living after you leave this so-called body of yours. Now the denial of this universal living intelligence in Jesus was the root of death to those who did not believe in me and him who sent me. There are those who are capable and those who are not capable of realizing the ever-present life principle even now. The majority of the great masses of the people the present time are incapable of realizing the ever-present life principle. Their actions prove that it is so. The leaders of the world are in the same boat. In the first portion of this letter it says, "The God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet." For those who affirm that there is a devil in reality deny the absolute God. If you then affirm that there is a devil, you deny God. You can't do anything else. It's another impossibility. The one is or the other is not. Which is it? If you affirm there is a devil, then you deny God, because God is omnipresent everywhere. For those who affirm there is a devil in reality deny the absolute God, and to deny the absolute God is to affirm a principle of the opposite of the spirit of life, the devil. And in this sense, in relation to the human plane, the devil is said to have the power of death, which is a lie. Anything that separates God from man, or man from man, must be utterly false. Therefore, we have to discern these things in the light of the Master's teachings and in the light of our own awareness of the truth of the eternal now. We limit in our minds the operation of spirit life by fore and after, by past and future. When we deny the life in the body, we limit the ever-presence of the one life, and it can be none other than the one eternal now. And this is what Jesus was showing, and those who could see, understand, became sons of God and not sons of the devil, perdition. If you then deny that eternal life in the body now, you deny life eternal in its wholeness. Jesus was showing, "I am the life." That life was already there now, was the real expression of God. He was the Son of God, the actual living expression of God that could never die. For unless you believe who I am, you will die in your sin, your ignorance. John 8:24. If you believe in separation, you must die in your ignorance. Anything that separates one from another is an illusion. If anyone lives in separation, that one cannot think correctly. I have realized this immortality. this ever-present life, in and out, before and after, past and future, are all one in the ever-present, eternal life now. If you conceive all that hinders you, with all its subtle varieties that prevent you from living in the present, you begin to realize the eternal. If you will look into your mind, you will see that past and future, good and evil, are but images, mental ideas, which are relative and can never be a part of the ever-present reality. The living God, my life, your life. Resist not evil, the Master said. In other words, do not fight or struggle with these hindrances, nor pacifically endure them, but become conscious that they are false. They are a hindrance to the clarity of thought, which alone leads you to freedom. You can become free only by examining these hindrances with your mind utterly free from all attachment, free from all prejudices, free from ideas or beliefs. Comparisons do not bring understanding. If you are suffocated by demands of royalty with the fulfillment of certain duties which demand conformity, you will be incapable of true understanding. It is only when you are unattached can there be true discernment of that which is in the mind. If you are caught up in these things, you can never discern. You are in the whirlpool of them. You must be, as it were, separate and distinct. There, applying your own spirit recognition, discerning these things that are false. The presence requires no effort to express itself. It doesn't require you to make an effort to express the presence. All you've got is to clear the way so that the presence can express itself. The prophet says, clear the way for the Lord. Neither has it to discipline itself into action. It is through action now. And in this there is freedom for the individual who realizes it. That is the Christ that Jesus showed to us. And it is the most important thing in your life and in mine. To see and to know the great and wonderful teachings of the Master. How wonderful his mind, how clear was his conception of that which was a hindrance to the expression of reality. He was the life. He was the immortal being. He was that omnipotence and omniscience expressing itself in love. It was the Son of the Father, Mother, God. This is the love that you shall also have. The love that Christ had is your love also. What you have to discern is that which is false, that which is not true. Then you will find that there is a love there in your heart that goes beyond the physical. That the desires of the flesh do not destroy it. Although love manifests itself in the flesh, the flesh does not rule this love, but this love rules the flesh. And until such time as you have discerned these truths and passed through the mill, where you find then in your own heart all the things that have been troubling you, where your heart has been crushed, or your heart has died before it came to life. Then it comes to life free from the flesh. There is the living love that I have for you. That is the living love that you must have for me. It's the Christ in us. He who sent me is true. So I tell the world what I have learned from him. John 8:20. Benediction. I slumbered in the arms of thy infinity, while feeling in my craving heart prevented me knowing thy eternal presence. I awoke and waited in the silence of thy being, and there burst forth the soul melodies of joy. I then removed all sacred rituals that separated thee and me, which lay so long locked in my memory. Now I know that within my soul is thy throne of eternal peace, O beloved infinite.